Well, good morning, everybody. Here we are in August, and we're recording this with John and with Martin, and it is red hot in here, and we've had one of the hottest days in August in our wonderful town of Lowestoft. And I'm doing a slight break from my previous themes the last few months about the Book of Acts, and I want to talk about the holiday season. What is it to take rest and have a holiday? If you've stumbled on us, welcome. We're London Road Baptist Church, and I'm one of the ministers here at London Road Baptist Church. If you've stumbled on us through Google, if you come back onto this service via our church website, which you can equally Google, you'll get a better link and have all the songs attached if you use the link on our church website. So I want to say good morning to everybody. Good morning to my wonderful regular congregation. Good morning to you if you are a visitor. Let me read you what God says about rest through the words of the psalmist. And the psalmist says this: my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Well, as we think about that theme of rest, we're going to sing a wonderful song. Now you can sing in your homes. And it's called, What a Faithful God Have I. And when we understand that we have this faithful God who provides all our needs, then we can rest often from our labours, knowing that he gives us all that we need. So let's sing together. I'll meditate on the words of this wonderful song. What a Faithful God Have I. Lord, Having sung about that throne of grace, let's just now come to that throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can find rest in your presence. We can find the fullness of joy, and we can worship you with wonder. Because, Lord, we can sing, we can experience the fact that we have a faithful God. Faithful in every way. So we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that you've been with us during this challenging season, and you continue to be with us in this difficult season. Grant us peace, we ask. Grant us comfort. And grant us a peace, Lord, that comes from us just being before you now in our homes. And we come, Lord, with our failures, with our faults, knowing that you are faithful to forgive and forget and cleanse us from our iniquities and bring peace between us. And so we say, Lord, may we find rest in your presence, rest in the presence of others in whom we live with. May we find a fresh joy this morning as we behold your face and declare in words of prayer, what a faithful God have I. Well, as you're aware, each week we visit somebody within the fellowship, and a person very key to the future of our church is Jen. And Jen Dorling is our youth minister, our youth worker, and she's going to bring our reading, and she's also going to bring a song chosen by one of our young people, Alicia. And Alicia Knight has chosen a wonderful song, Here I Am to Worship. So I'm going to hand over to Jen, and then when Jen's finished, it will come back to me and we'll share God's word together.
Hi, my name is Jen, and I'm the youth specialist for London Road Baptist Church. With me today is Alicia, and she is she's been going to LRBC since she was born, and she's our youngest church member, which I find really amazing. So as well as working for the church, I'm a wife, I'm a mum to two small children. I'm a sister, a daughter, I'm a friend. I volunteer at the school as a school governor, and I'm about to embark on a 3-year university degree at Ridley Hall. Life can be really, really busy for me, and I find my days and my nights are full. And sometimes I find it really difficult to switch off, and I'm constantly thinking about my to-do list and the things that I need to get done. It can often feel like there's no time for rest, and sometimes I really do struggle to switch off. And I think that instead of sitting around, I should be getting on with some of the jobs I need to do. But God tells us that rest is okay, and that rest is from Him. And to rest our body physically, and to rest our mind mentally and spiritually, it's actually okay to do those things, and it allows space for healing, and it allows our body to be refreshed and to carry on the things that we need to do. Now for me, the best place that I can relax is sitting outside. I love being outside. It's the only place where I find my mind can switch off from what's going on, And during the day or the evening, I'm most happy sitting outside in the garden, relaxing. It allows me space to think, it allows me time to be quiet, and it just helps me to really stop thinking about everything else that's going on around me. Some of you may know that over the last few months, Alicia has been struggling with a few things with her health. And so Alicia is just going to tell us a little bit about one of the things that she struggled with during the last few months. So Alicia, one of the things that you struggled with was resting or sleeping when you weren't feeling your best. Mm-hmm. Could you explain a little bit about how that felt and how it affected you?
It really affected my mental health, and I sort of lost the rational part of my thinking, and I ended up becoming scared of going to bed, which isn't really the best position to be in.
I suppose your bedroom is a space where you can go and relax, and it just didn't feel like it was a place where you wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So is there something that maybe helped you during the time when you were struggling to rest or struggling to sleep?
Me and my parents came up with like a bedtime routine where we'd go to bed and then they'd pray with me and just remind me that my bed was a safe place to be and relax during the night.
And I know that your parents prayed a lot about peace mm-hmm. and peace over you. And do you think that that peace, that you felt that peace at certain times?
Yeah.
So summer period for me, it looks like spending time with my family. Like I said, I have two small children. It looks like me spending time at the beach and in my garden, relaxing. It allows me to have a slower pace of work. And it just means a bit of time for me to be able to do some reading that I really enjoy doing. But Alicia, what does summer look like for you? Because normally you're at college, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. It's just mainly relaxing and just preparing for the next year.
Neil's message is all about rest and holidays, and so Alicia's got a few verses from the Bible that she's going to read to us.
This is from Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The second one is from Psalm 62, verses 1 to 8. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
So just before we pray, Alicia and I want to wish you a really, really happy summer. We hope that you can all have a great rest, and we look forward to when we can see you all again. So please join with us now as we pray. Father God, we thank you for your reminders that it is okay to rest, and that by your example, we know that not only is it okay to rest, that it's important too. We know this because even as Creator God, you took the time on the seventh day to rest. And God, please just help each of us to remember that a Sabbath day or a day to rest is so important for our bodies, for our minds, and for our spirits. Could we just ask for those who are struggling to rest, like Alicia knows well, in whichever capacity that they are struggling with, God, whether it's a physical pain that is stopping them from resting and sleeping, or perhaps it's a burden and a worry that's keeping them awake at night. Perhaps, God, people like myself are just, you know, struggling to switch off and continuously thinking about all the things that need to be done. God, we just pray for peace. And we pray that those people can rest and that know that rest is what is needed. So we pray that over the summer period, those who have a break from work can rest. And I suppose at this time, we particularly think of school children and young people like Alicia who are having a break from college. And we just pray that it's a restful time. It's a time to put work aside and to just concentrate on relaxing. And to not be worrying about the pressures of school or college work. And we just pray for, Lord, we just pray for relaxation and reviving of teachers and other staff from schools during this period where, God, hopefully August is a time where they can refresh and they can have a break. But God, just as they are, we are looking towards September and those people who are planning and prepping and preparing for what September could look like, we just pray for guidance and wisdom and just a peace over that, God, that they may rest in the fact that you have everything in control, God, and that you know the plan. God, we just pray for protection over our schools and Lowestoft, and we pray that, God, that when September comes again and the children and the staff and the teachers return to school, God, that there will be a protection over those places, whether it's a primary school or a secondary school or a college or a university. God, we just pray for protection over those places. And for those who aren't taking a rest during this time, we pray for the people, Lord, who are continuing to work. And we just pray that with longer summer days means more hours, but not just hours for getting jobs done, God. Hours for resting and hours spent being still and possibly in the presence of you, God. So we just ask that summer will be a time for families, for friends, for rest, for just spending time with you. And we pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All together, love me, all together.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Alicia, for choosing that wonderful song. Well, this morning, as I said, I'm going to talk about holidays. And although you can't see, we did have a discussion earlier on. I'm stood here now in my shorts, and I think John's going to embarrass me now by just showing my legs. But I'm in the holiday season, and it is so warm. Here we are in the holiday month of August. And as we say up north, I'm fagged out. How are you? I've had a very, very busy 5 months during this coronavirus season. But believe it or not, what I want to talk about this morning is God is very interested in the topic of holidays and rest. To him, rest is not wasted time. Time when we could be doing something useful and productive. No, rest, properly understood, from a biblical understanding, has value, rest has worth, and rest has purpose. In fact, rest and holidays are essential to our physical well-being and our spiritual well-being. And so my purpose at the beginning of this holiday month is to help you examine the balance of work and rest in your life. And not only the quality, but the quantity of the rest, to see if it's what you need, what you were designed for. And more importantly, whether the balance of work and rest that you're experiencing in your life is pleasing to God. Do you know that if you take rest, it is pleasing to God? First, I'd just like to establish this, that God himself rests. And anything that God does, by definition, is a good thing. Because no one would accuse God of being lazy or unproductive. Yet the Bible tells us clearly that both God the Father and God the Son took rest. In Genesis, the story of creation plainly tells us that right at the beginning of the wonderful scriptures. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So why does the Bible tell us this? Because the balance of work and rest, and when we look at it, we see it in God's creative activity, and it's an intended model for us to follow. It tells us that a lifestyle of uninterrupted labour, day after day, is not good for us. And I'd go as far as saying it's not pleasing to God. In the same way, you know, we see that when Jesus came, God incarnate, God in person came to earth, he also rested. Luke 5, verses 15 and 16, it says these words, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed." Note, he did it often. Luke wants to tell us that Jesus rested often. But similarly, other gospel writers put it like this. This is how Mark puts it. Mark 1, verses 35 and 36. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him, and they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" It's very clear that from Jesus' point of view, busyness did not interrupt his planned rest. There's another story. I'm just going off my notes now. When he'd been really, really busy, and so he went to sleep in the bottom of the boat. We remember it, where a storm came on the Sea of Galilee and all the disciples are frightened, thinking they're going to drown. And Jesus is where? He's asleep in the front of the boat. And one thing that's striking, about these things, about these passages, is the fact that Jesus withdrew from the crowds just when he was in most demand. The need was great, and yet Jesus was nowhere to be found. And Jesus understood that need was endless. But in order to accomplish the purpose for which God had sent him, he had to remain spiritually strong. And that required regular times of prayer, meditation, but equally regular times of rest, recuperation, and even sleep. And we see the same pattern in Jesus' relationship even with his disciples. Mark 6, verses 30 and 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many of the people were coming and going that they did not even have chance to eat, he said to them, "Come to me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Again, at the busy time, Jesus says, "No, you're not going to wear yourself out and meet everybody's expectations. You're going to have to take some rest." Jesus did not demand nor desire that his followers labour to the point of exhaustion and burnout. How sad it is when we allow endless busy people to shape church. Church is a place that will utterly consume you, but God doesn't ask for that level of consumption. So why is rest so important? Well, firstly, one of the most important functions of rest is to allow us to listen to God. Often we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of daily life that we become deaf to the still small voice of God. We become so busy doing things for Christ that we simply forget to be with Christ. We get tunnel vision, becoming fixated on completing our list of assigned tasks, that we have no time for anything else but work. But somehow the list of tasks never gets shorter. We're on a treadmill running towards a finishing line that never gets any closer. And in the meantime, lacking that quiet, unhurried fellowship, our perspectives can become warped and our attitudes become poisoned. We become ratty and difficult. We begin to run on autopilot, fueled by adrenaline that begins to damage our health. And instead of being guided by the gentle, quiet voice of the affirming Holy Spirit, we find ourselves being controlled by emotion, by habit, by circumstance, and by need. Time away from our labours helps us regain our perspective and realign our priorities. It reminds us that the things of God are eternal, while the things of this life are temporary. Do you know, I've said this to my congregation once or twice, but in a former life, I worked in senior management within the health service. And I have to be careful how I say this, so I won't mention the actual hospital. But I remember the hospital I worked in was near a major road in the country, and we used to take regular road traffic accidents, the tragedy of these accidents. And this particular day, a man who I knew, who lived in the same village of me, was a travelling salesman, always busy, always on the road, and he had an accident near home, and he was brought into the hospital. And when he was brought into the hospital, it was touch and go for his life, and because he was known and we knew who he was, his wife was contacted. And his wife was brought him, and before he went into surgery, they had a conversation. And all that man did in his last conversation with his wife was dictate a business letter. And he died on the table. What could have been a very special time of intimacy turned out to be an opportunity for his wife to take a dictated letter about his business. He died that day. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, I'm just saying that's a sad thing. There are many things we can be doing, many things that are worthwhile and even important, But there is really one thing that is essential, and that's spending time with God, spending time with family, and spending time with friends. I had the privilege of being brought up in York, and my minister was the very famous Anglican evangelical minister, David Watson, and he used to regularly preach, your first commitment is to God, your second commitment is to your family, and then your third commitment is to church. Second, rest is important to remind us of who we are, to reaffirm our humanity as men and women made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You are made in the image of God. We are not merely the sum of what we accomplish. We are not merely a means of production. We are not cogs in a machine. A man is not a horse to be valued according to how well he pulls a plow. He is not a motorized vehicle that is measured in horsepower. We are not measured in the amount of A levels we have or the exam grades that we have, because man is not a tool to be valued by the tasks he can perform. Yes, our work is value, but it's not our work that gives us value. Our value is inherent within us. It comes from the fact that we're made in the image of God, and that this God made us, loves us, and gives his Son for us. He simply loves us. A workaholic is someone who is addicted to work. Not because he enjoys it, but because it's the only thing that gives him any sense of worth. But that's pathology. That's sickness. And it's not true. We have great worth regardless of how much or how little we accomplish. We have value because God is our Father, and because Jesus Christ makes us his children. I'd even go as far as to say, do you know that God doesn't need our work? He doesn't need our gifts. In fact, all that we can offer him is what he has already given us first, that we've received from him in the first place. And my point is this, not only do we have worth when we are working, but we have equal worth when we are simply enjoying God's good gifts and holidaying. Be it reading, listening to music, fishing, walking in the woods, playing with our children, having coffee out with a partner or friends, admiring a painting in a gallery, laid on a sun lounger, moorland walking, or even for people like me, eating a Devonshire cream tea with jam and butter. We are still of value to this God. Thirdly, rest keeps us humble. It helps us maintain perspective on our place in the grand scheme of things. A period of withdrawal from our usual responsibilities without a mobile phone or conference call or bleeper or BlackBerry or email or iPhone can demonstrate powerfully that we are not as indispensable as we all imagine. Charles de Gaulle, the Frenchman, once said, "The graveyards are full of indispensable men." Somehow, even in our absence, the important tasks still get done. Somehow the earth continues to revolve on its axis, and the sun continues to rise and set. And the Apostle Paul puts it like this in Romans 12:3, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves in sober judgment." When we become too grandiose in our thinking of ourselves as essential, then we become either arrogant, prideful, or stressed out and depressed. Taking a break helps us put the weight of the ultimate responsibility back where it belongs, on God's shoulders, not on ours. And if things do fall apart when we're away, then we need to restructure our work so that others are not dependent upon us to get their work done. And fourthly, and quickly, A time of resting from our labours reminds us that it is God who provides what we need and not ourselves. You know, the Jews used to have different names for God so they could remember qualities of his character and aspects of his personality. And one of the most famous ones is Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Yes, we usually have to work to obtain food and clothing and shelter, but ultimately, as I touched on earlier, everything we have comes as a gift from God. Even the ability for you and I to earn a living comes from God. You can't make yourself brainy. You can't make yourself strong. You may be able to perfect your intelligence a little bit. You may be able to get the best of what you were created physically. But ultimately, your brain and your physical attire is a gift from God. And that's why the Apostle Paul puts it like this, 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? The focus here is on the fact that it is God who provides for our needs. And stopping our work from a time reminds us of that fact. It's also an act of faith. You know, a good friend of mine was both an arable farmer and a dairy farmer. And as a matter of personal conviction, he never worked arable on a Sunday. Yes, he'd milk the cows, but he would never make hay even when the sun was shining. And that can require a lot of commitment when you need to get the wheat planted and it's been raining for 2 weeks solid. And the first day the fields are dry enough to get the tractors on the field is a Sunday. And by confidence and by his confidence, and it's not coincidence, I just want to say that the Lord has always provided for all my friend has ever needed. And he always seems to get a bumper harvest over and above those who labour on the Sabbath. I just want to say that God hasn't called you to labour on the Sabbath unless what you do on the Sabbath is necessary, like milking cows, or if you're working in the health service or whatever. But what the Bible says, to work on the Sabbath for profit, is not God's plan for you, and it's not God's plan for me. So maybe the final reason for rest is to remind us that we are wholly dependent upon God. As the psalmist writes, and I began the service with, Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. That's how the psalmist puts it. This is how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah 30, 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. What Isaiah is saying there, that rest is as important as repentance to find God. In quietness and trust is your strength, says Isaiah, but you would have none of it. So Isaiah is pleading with his people, find rest. And find repentance, and then you'll find real strength. And the author of Hebrews brings us full circle, linking salvation back to creation. And this is in the New Testament. For those that somehow think that the Sabbath is only an Old Testament concept, Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10. There remains then the Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did for his. So the writer of Hebrews says that this concept of rest and holidays and Sabbath remains for God's people. So in conclusion, let me ask you, do you value times of rest? Do you plan for them? Do you schedule them in? Do you protect them? Are you going to take some time off this August? Turn this holiday into a holy day? And most finally, are you resting in Christ? Have you given up all attempts to earn God's love and acceptance? Have you come to trust in Christ alone for your salvation, for your place before God? Realizing that you can't do anything extra to make him love you more. You can't do anything less to make him love you less. He simply loves you. Work, rest, and play. So this August, rest in him and enjoy some time off with him. And why not have a cracking, holy holiday? May God bless his word to us today. Well, as I draw to a close, let me just mention, we do have the opportunity to meet on a Sunday. You can get the Zoom web link offers, but we meet before the service as a congregation between 10 and 10:30 each Sunday. If you'd like somebody to pray with you this morning and you're a regular in our church, do contact Bill and I. And if you are a visitor, contact us through the website. We'd love to get to know you more. And if you'd like to meet with us socially distancing, have a coffee or have me pray with you or talk with you, then me and other members of our wonderful congregation here at London Road Baptist Church are available for you, even during this restful month of August. And so we're going to close now with a wonderful song. It's called I Will Rest in You. Bye until we meet again.
Shepherd of my weary soul, you're my comfort, you're my hope. I can hear you call my name. Lead me to